On December 26th, 2018, Portland, Oregon resident Colin O'Brady became the first person to ever complete a solo trek across the landmass of Antarctica. Braving even days with 60-mile-an-hour winds and 80-degree-below-zero temperatures, he continued, pulling his sled full of supplies, a sled that at the beginning weighed 375 pounds. He carried on. Walking 12 and 13 hours a day, he persisted. And in one final push of 32 and a half hours straight, he completed this never-before task just 2 days before another solo hiker, former British Army Captain Lew Rudd. O'Brady was motivated by his identity as an endurance athlete. He was motivated by his sense of adventure. He was motivated by his desire to return home to his wife and his friends and his family. But even with all of that, it didn't make every day easy. In fact, in an interview with Rachel Martin on NPR's Morning Edition, there was a piece of tape played that had been recorded during his trek on day 48. He said, "I'm kind of down in my mind right now. This is, even though I'm close, it's the first time in this project I'm feeling like I just want to quit. I'm not doing good, but I'm trying to hold it together." It wasn't easy, but he was determined, and he believed the risk was worth it, so he dove in, fully committed to a seemingly impossible task. There are Colin O'Brady's in this world, and then there are the rest of us. There are people like me, and I suspect like many of you, who are happy to play it safe, happy to stick to what we know, happy to take only measured risks that would be actuary approved. But what happens when it is Jesus who asks us to try something new, to take a risk, to head into the deep waters? Because in this morning's story, that's what happened. Jesus had begun his public ministry. He had been out teaching and healing. He was starting to gain recognition, and crowds were gathering wherever he went. This day was no different. The crowds were so big that he took a position offshore. He asked Simon, not yet a disciple, but already someone with whom he was familiar, to push his boat back from the shore a bit. It gave Jesus not only a place from which to teach, but a little bit of space from the crowd. But when he finished teaching, he didn't ask Simon to take him back to shore, as might have been expected. And, if we're honest, as Simon probably wanted. After all, remember, Simon and his friends had just come in from fishing. They had been fishing all night. They were in the process of cleaning their nets. They were likely ready to go home, to see their families, to get a little rest. And then Jesus showed up. But instead of thanking Simon and going on his way, Jesus said to him, "Put your boat into the deep water. Throw out your nets again." And did you notice what the New Revised Standard Version says was Simon's response? It reads, "Simon answered, 'Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets. It's such a kind and sanitized response, isn't it? Because I suspect, whether he said it out loud or not, Simon's response, at least in his head, may have gone a little more like, "You've got to be kidding me. I've been fishing all night. I was just cleaning up. I am a fisherman. You are a carpenter's son. Why are you telling me how and when and where to fish? Don't you think I'm doing my best?" Can't you almost hear those words on Simon's tongue? And yet perhaps his very next thought, maybe simply because he was exhausted, was, "I'm just going to do what he says rather than argue with him, and we'll just get this over with." So we are told Simon put the nets in, out in the deeper water. And what a surprise he got. Apparently, Jesus actually knew what he was talking about. The nets were soon full, and Simon had to call to his friends on the shore to come out and help. But the story doesn't end there. See, it doesn't really seem to be just about a bountiful catch. It doesn't seem to be just about a miracle of many fish where none had been hours earlier. But Jesus says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." And then the story seems to be about something so much more, about trusting Jesus enough to risk their lives to follow him and share in his ministry. See, often we only use the word risk when we think about doing things that come with a physical risk, things like bungee jumping or like Colin O'Brady's trek across Antarctica. Often we sanitize the expectations of our faith so much that we don't think of faith as being risky at all. But if we are listening to the stories of Jesus, and if we are willing to be honest even when it is hard, then we can't help but notice that risk is part of our calling. After all, if we pay attention, following Jesus is risky business. It's about risking our way for the way of another. It's about risking our stuff and choosing to share. It's about risking our hearts when we open them even to people who are very different from us. It's about risking control as we commit to live our lives as reflections of God's light. So what would happen if we really lived into the risk that is the call of our faith? What would happen if we quit playing it safe? What would happen if we quit only helping those who have proved to us that they need exactly what they're asking for? What would happen if we quit only reading the scripture passages that support what we already believe? What would happen if we listened honestly to Jesus' call to love beyond reason? What would happen if our attachment to Jesus was deeper than our attachment to money or power? Remember, when Jesus turned to Peter and invited him to cast the nets again, he didn't just do it in the same place. Rather, Jesus instructed him to put the boat into the deep water and then to cast the nets again. In the same way, when we commit our lives to following Jesus, we are asked to step away from what is already comfortable. We are asked to not just keep repeating the same action with the same people in the same place. We are asked to challenge ourselves to go to new places and to live in new ways. See, the reality is that most of us have been raised in a Christianity that allows us to keep our creature comforts and not be challenged by it. Most of us have been raised in a Christianity that allows us even to keep our bigotries and not feel challenged to let go of them. Most of us have been raised in a Christianity that allows us to keep our allegiances to money and to power and to nation and not to give them a second thought. Most of us have been raised in a Christianity that allows us to keep our alliance with the empire and not worry a thing about it. But friends, the challenge, and it is a challenge, is that this Christianity that we are so comfortable in, this Christianity that allows us to stay safe, to stay in what we know, to live our lives as consumers and power brokers and people focused on accumulation, this is not the faith of Jesus. No, the faith of Jesus asks us to go to a different place. The faith of Jesus calls us to different priorities. The faith of Jesus asks us to take risks, to go into the deep water, whether that means in building relationships with people we once called enemy, or sharing our resources in such a way that it changes our lives, or asking the hard questions that we would much prefer to avoid. The faith of Jesus and the commitment to following Jesus asks much of us. And if we are always comfortable, then we might not be listening. So what would it mean? What would it mean for you to go into the deep water with Jesus? What would it mean for you to risk something substantial for your faith? What is the new place to which Jesus might be calling you? I wonder what would happen if we, individually and as a congregation, were ready to listen to a new word. I wonder what would happen if we, individually and as a congregation, were ready to take the risks, to go deep, and to really follow Jesus. Amen.